Chapter 5. Young mistress. You may be sure that she showed Rebecca over every room of the house, and everything in every one of her drawers, and her books, and her piano, and her dresses, and all her necklaces, brooches, laces, and gimcracks. She insisted upon Rebecca accepting the white cornelian and the turquoise rings, and a sweet sprigged muslin, which was too small for her now, though it would fit her friend to a nicety, and she determined in her heart to ask her mother's permission to present her white cashmere shawl to her friend. Could she not spare it? And had not her brother Joseph just brought her two from India? When Rebecca saw the two magnificent cashmere shawls which Joseph Sedley had brought home to his sister, she said, with perfect truth, that it must be delightful to have a brother, and easily got the pity of the tender-hearted Amelia for being alone in the world, an orphan without friends or kindred. "Not alone," said Amelia. "You know, Rebecca, I shall always be your friend, and love you as a sister, indeed I will. Ah, but to have parents, as you have kind, rich, affectionate parents, who give you everything you ask for, and their love, which is more precious than all. My poor papa could give me nothing, and I had but two frocks in all the world. And then, to have a brother, a dear brother. Oh, how you must love him." Amelia laughed. "What? Don't you love him? You, who say you love everybody." "Yes, of course, I do only what? Only Joseph doesn't seem to care much, whether I love him or not. He gave me two fingers, to shake when he arrived after 10 years' absence. He is very kind and good, but he scarcely ever speaks to me. I think he loves his pipe a great deal better than his," but here Amelia checked herself, for why should she speak ill of her brother? "He was very kind to me as a child," she added. "I was but 5 years old when he went away." "Isn't he very rich?" said Rebecca. "They say all Indian nabobs are enormously rich. I believe he has a very large income." "And is your sister-in-law a nice pretty woman?" "La! Joseph is not married," said Amelia, laughing again. Perhaps as he had mentioned the fact already to Rebecca, but that young lady did not appear to have remembered it, indeed, vowed, and protested that she expected to see a number of Amelia's nephews and nieces. She was quite disappointed that Mr. Sedley was not married. She was sure Amelia had said he was, and she doted so on little children. "I think you must have had enough of the machizik," said Amelia, rather wondering at the sudden tenderness on her friend's part. And indeed in later days Miss Sharp would never have committed herself so far as to advance opinions, the untruth of which would have been so easily detected. But we must remember that she is but 19 as yet, unused to the art of deceiving, poor innocent creature, and making her own experience in her own person. The meaning of the above series of queries, as translated in the heart of this ingenious young woman, was simply this: if Mr. Joseph Sedley is rich and unmarried, why should I not marry him? I have only a fortnight, to be sure, but there is no harm in trying. And she determined within herself to make this laudable attempt. She redoubled her caresses to Amelia. She kissed the white cornelian necklace as she put it on, and vowed she would never, never part with it. When the dinner bell rang, she went downstairs with her arm round her friend's waist, as is the habit of young ladies. She was so agitated at the drawing-room door that she could hardly find courage to enter. "Eel my heart, how it beats, dear," said she to her friend. "No, it doesn't," said Amelia. "Oh, Min, don't be frightened. Papa won't do you any harm." Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.